So we're starting a new series today that we're calling Courageous Generosity. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at that concept, that notion of generosity, and see how it impacts our lives, and also to look at what the scriptures have to say about it. I think in many ways what we'll discover is what we already know. And that is that there is meaning and there is joy that is found in the act of generosity. On Monday of this last week, I invited people on Facebook to share with me their stories of courageous generosity, ways that they have either experienced generosity from other people or that they have given it and the difference that it made in their lives. There were a great number of people, about 20 people, that shared with me some of their inspiring examples. And over the next few weeks, I want to share with you some of those stories and some of those examples. In the way that they have inspired me, I trust that they will inspire you. And I also want to say, too, that if you have something that you would love to share with me, I hope that you will go to my Facebook page and that you will post that story for me to share maybe in one of these upcoming sermons. Some of these stories are come from people that are associated with our congregation. Some are not, friends that I know from other avenues of my life. One of the examples that I want to share with you today came from Ginger Jarman, who's a member of this congregation. And she said this. She said, "My granddaughter, who's now 9, when she was 8, she heard the story of the widow who gave her last 2 pennies as an offering in church. My granddaughter opened her wallet and gave all of the money that she had, which included all of the birthday money that she had received, and she put it in the church offering plate. I was shocked," Ginger said, "and then deeply touched and proud when I learned of this. It was more than $300. I love that story, an 8-year-old girl. Don't you just love stories like that? You know, if I were to write a book about the 5 most important principles of life, the 5 things that everybody needs to know, those things that help you find life, that help you live life, that help you find joy and meaning and purpose in life, after faith in God and after loving your neighbor, the 3rd would be the act, practicing the act of generosity. That is in many ways what it means to be human. It's where we find joy. It's where we find life. And we all know the joy of giving. We've experienced that. We just celebrated Christmas. Let me ask you this. What was more fun? What was more meaningful? Opening the presents or watching someone you love open the present that you gave them? There's joy in giving. Now, the scriptures teach us the importance of generosity over and over and over again. And we're going to look at 2 texts this morning. The first one is very short. It comes from the book of Proverbs, which is in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. Proverbs is essentially a collection of wise sayings, sort of a manual for living. The opening says, "So we'll know how to live well and live right, to understand what life means and where it's going." The second text that Chad will read in just a moment is from the Apostle Paul's 2nd letter to the church in Corinth. And that one requires a little bit of background. Now, historians tell us that around the year 48 CE, the Common Era, sometimes known as AD, that there was this famine in the Roman Empire, in particular on the eastern part where Judea was, where Christianity began. Now, Paul was going around and starting all of these churches among the Gentiles, among the Greco-Roman world. And as he's doing this, he knows about that famine that is taking place, about how hard life had become for many people. And not only does he want to help those that are hungry, those that are struggling, but he also wants to help those new Christians in these churches that he's starting put their faith into action, to practice. Those people who have experienced God's grace in a very real way, he wants to help them learn what it means to be a Christian, to be a person of faith. And so he begins to write about this offering that he's going to collect. He mentions it in the book of Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, he devotes two entire chapters to this offering. It's clear that he also had conversations about this offering to the churches in Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica and Galatia, encouraging them to give. And as he went about on his second missionary journey, he began telling the people in the region about this famine, about the suffering that was taking place, and preparing for them to take part in this. And so when he went back on his third missionary journey, he takes up this offering in order to take it back to Jerusalem. You see, this offering was a really big deal among the early church. And a lot of what Paul teaches about generosity is connected, all ties back to this offering. And so that is what he is referring to in this text that you're about to hear.
We begin today with a verse from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 25. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. And we continue with a New Testament reading taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. Here begins the reading. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So as you look at the Christian virtues in the Bible, I think there are about five of them. There's love, there's justice, there's mercy, there's kindness, compassion. If you take all five of those ideas and count how much each of them are talked about, well, I did that this week. And what I discovered is that love, depending on the translation, is listed over 700 times in the Bible. Justice, or the word just, is listed about 600 times. Kindness, a bit less. Compassion, mercy. If you take all of those and add up the number of times in which they are mentioned, they appear about 1,500, just under 1,600 times in the Scriptures. And then I looked at the word give or gave. Do you know how many times that appears in Scripture? 1,864 times, more than all of the other virtues combined. And if you add the word generosity, it's listed over 1,900 times. Now, of course, the idea of generosity, even if it's not mentioned, the whole concept, the idea of generosity, is mentioned even more times than the words themselves. You see, this is a really, really big idea in Scripture. It's central to what it means to be a person of faith. Generosity is part of the Christian faith. It's what we are made for. Now, many of those examples about generosity relate to God. There's a lot about how we are to be generous with each other, how we might seek generosity from other people. But many of those passages are about God's generosity, about how God is generous to us. Now, as we know, as people of faith, that the most appropriate, the most fundamental response to God's generosity is gratitude. Meister Eckhart, the great medieval mystic and theologian, once said that if the only prayer that you ever pray in your entire life is thank you, that would be enough. to be thankful for everything, for life, for breath. The very best parts of life are gifts from God. And the appropriate response, what it means to truly worship, is to simply say thank you. Here's what I know. Here's what I know, that we are at our happiest, our most content, when we realize that life is a gift. And when we take things for granted, when we feel that things are owed to us, we're miserable. But when we live with this posture that every day, that everything that we have in life is a gift, when we are grateful for what we have, we live with a sense of contentment and gratitude and joy. The most basic orientation of our life for people of faith is to realize that God is generous, that life is a gift. And if the only prayer that we ever pray is thank you. But we know, don't we, that thoughts and prayers are not enough, that we must also put our gratitude into action. Gratitude in action is generosity. Generosity is what love, what gratitude looks like when we put it into action. One of the people that shared on my Facebook page this week about the ways that they have experienced courageous generosity is my friend Jeff. He's not a part of this congregation, was a friend of mine from back in my TCU days. And he shared with me this. He said, he reminded me that he and I have a mutual friend that lost a child about 3 years ago. And on his birthday, she asked her friends to do random acts of kindness. So this last year, Jeff gave $50 gifts to a number of different people who he thought could lend and could use a helping hand. And Jeff said this. He says, "I truly enjoyed that day more than I ever thought that I would. And I look forward this spring to that day, and I will do it again times 10. There's joy in giving. Another illustration came from a member of our church, someone you may know, who shared with me that she has a friend who is widely known for what she calls porch drops, and that she will just drive around Fort Worth delivering food or flowers, gifts to friends, to family, to maybe even strangers. She often squeezes porch drops in before leaving town, infuriating her husband that she drove around all day instead of packing her bags. She's come over unannounced to take my kids away when I was sick, she said. She's shown up with a cheese board and a wine when she knew that I'd had a bad day. She's shown up. She and her husband have built a very successful company from the ground up, and they donate freely and fearlessly to just about anything. I could go on and on with examples, she said, but it boils down to her thinking of others always. Courageous generosity to me, she said, is giving not just money, but time, and thought, and prayer. It's about living with a generous heart. Now, much like the people in the first century dealing with famine, we too are going through a difficult time. We are in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic that is still raging on. In fact, this last week we had the highest number of deaths to the point that we've seen. And each day seems to set a new record. And the effect that it is having on our economy, let alone our emotional and our spiritual health, we too, even if we're not in the midst of a famine, are going through a very difficult time. Not only that, but there is uncertainty in our leadership. There are impeachment proceedings going on, riots in the Capitol, threats of more violence in the days to come. These are unprecedented. These are uncertain times. In uncertain times like this, it's natural, almost instinctual for us to retreat into this attitude of scarcity, to step back from being faithful, from living generously. And part of the reason that I wanted to focus on this passage from 2 Corinthians is because we are working and walking in times of adversity, much like the people in the early church were. I was talking with a friend this week about what's going on in the world. And one of the things that we discussed is that there seems to be a lack of trust in our country right now. Republicans don't really trust Democrats. Democrats don't really trust Republicans, and on, regardless of your tribe or your faction. We've lost that sense of trust in one another, in our communities, in our government. And if there's not a sense of trust, there is no way for us to move forward. I can disagree with you. You can disagree with me. But if I fundamentally trust you, in that moment, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say. But if I don't trust a person I disagree with, I can't offer that same generosity of spirit. Which is to say, what we need more in this moment, maybe perhaps more than anything else, is a serious infusion of this generosity of spirit, of this courageous generosity of spirit, of making space in our hearts and our souls to trust our human beings, our fellow human beings, are not awful people. Without that, there is no room for grace to work. Without being generous with our hearts, with our minds, and yes, it's a risk for sure, but any investment is. And most of the time, nothing good happens without some sort of investment, without some sort of generosity, whether it's of a person's checkbook or a person's heart. Now, I would argue that this last year has been really clarifying in many ways. We talk about 2020 vision, about clarity, about vision. And I think in a lot of ways, our vision about what it means to be human has gotten clearer. Our understanding about what is most important in life has become more clear to many of us. There is something about adversity that invites us to ask, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a child of God? How are we supposed to live and move and have our being? How are we to orient our lives? And a lot of us have been rethinking things in our lives about what is most important. I don't know about you, but I have rethought a lot of things in my life. Things that I do, how I invest my time, my money, my energy. There are some things that I look at and think, I don't need to do that anymore. That is no longer something that I need. And there is something very clarifying and important that is going on in my life. Our vision is much clearer. And the importance of family and nature, of health, both physical and emotional and mental, our coworkers, our neighbors, our pets, social justice, these things have become more important to us. In other things, less important. And if we are paying attention, we are gaining a clarity of vision in the midst of this adversity. I'm wondering if you are getting any clarity of vision. If you have learned anything in the last year, certain things have become more important than others. Because all of this clarity, it spurs us to a sense of generosity as we discover ways that we can give ourselves away, that we can help other people. We are meant to grow, Paul says, in the grace of giving. Courageous generosity comes when we are clarifying, when we are gaining a sense of clarity. A sense of clarity in our own lives about what really matters. When we realize that life is a gift from God, that every day, every breath is a gift. when we realize that the only appropriate, the fundamental response to God's generosity is gratitude, and gratitude in action is generosity. That when we are generous, we discover what really matters, what is really essential, that it is in those moments that we discover and find meaning and joy and a sense of peace. It was Jesus who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Many of us have heard that. Maybe you didn't know it was Jesus who said it, but it was. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Those words from Proverbs that we heard a minute ago, a generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Other translations say those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Those who help others are helped. Those who give will find joy. So I want to invite you this week and over the next several weeks to grow in the grace of giving, to live with a generous heart, to practice courageous generosity in our hearts, to be people who offer God all that we are and all that we have. For this is what it means to be a person of faith, to live with a spirit, a generous heart, and courageous generosity. Amen.